In a world where extreme competition exists everywhere, what does it take to have success in your career and in life? Join me, Nirvana Chaudhary, as I sit down with some of the most successful individuals to discover the secrets to their success, what continues to drive them, and to hear a few exclusive stories in the process, what drives them and their success code, their mantra for making it bigger. Hello everyone, this is Nirvana Chaudhary once again back with my podcast, Making It Bigger. Today, once again, I have someone so special, someone so different, someone who absolutely again needs no introduction. Someone who I've seen over the last one decade really change the face of cricket in Nepal. Apart from just cricket, I think he's taken the entire sports fraternity and community and how sports is perceived in our country to a different level. Someone who's been a captain of the Nepal cricket team since 2009 to 2019, still continues to play cricket. I'm so proud of having Paras with me on my show today. Paras, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Nirvandai. I think the introduction went a bit too much. I mean, you've always been very generous. I think yourself and the institution that you represent, CG, has been an integral part of, you know, Nepal cricket's growth and sports in general. So glad to be talking to you. You're like my elder brother. So yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Paras. So, you know, very important, pertinent issue you raised. I'll come back to that later. But one thing I always start my podcast is, you know, you're an inspiration to the youth. I'm not exaggerating. You've been a successful sportsman, a phenomenal cricketer. What is your success mantra? What is it that drives Paras? What goes on to your head?
I think for me, my basic, I would say, I'm a man of principles. It's as simple as that. I've always been honest in everything that I've done. Growing up, it wasn't about me trying to become a cricketer, become a sportsman. I played sports from a very young age. I was part of schools, football, cricket, basketball, like all sports, extra. And plus, I was good in studies. So that way, I always had this balance. Because in Nepal, you know how it goes, where you have education always takes the front and foremost priority, and sports is always, you know, not there. But for me, it was about, you know, just managing that. And it just happened for me. Cricket's something where, you know, there were times when I've tried to run away from it. And then I have come to realization that I was destined for this. It's in my destiny. It's in today, whoever and whatever that I am is because of cricket. And for me, my biggest, if you can call me an asset, would be that I'm incredibly honest. Like, there's nothing for me to, you know, hide about. I'm like a public, open book where, you know, you can go through anything and everything, whether it's personal, professional, my cricket stats, whatever. And for me, it's about just being real. I think that's something where I've always tried to maintain within myself and, of course, with the cricket team as well. And it's my honesty is my biggest virtue, and that has brought me where I am today.
I couldn't agree more. I've seen you over the last 10 years and you're absolutely right. Honest to the face. But tell me one thing. Honesty is obviously the best policy, but, you know, I've seen very up close and personal on how, you know, some of our institutions, independent institutions, regulatory bodies sort of work. I've had the honor of representing or being part of this body for one day. And you know about that, right? And I was like, man, there's no way we'll be able to achieve this. So, you know, all I could do from an individual capacity is like probably create a 5-year blueprint and give it. You know, you've been in it. You've been in this quicksand for 10 years and more, you know, 10 years formally as a captain, but I'm sure before that. I mean, how have you navigated yourself individually and as captain of the team through the bureaucratic challenges and hurdles that come along this sport?
For us as cricketers, one of the biggest challenges we took up was the only time we will be hurt is if we start winning. And for us, there was no alternative. And having grown with, you know, all these cricketers around me, because we started, our cricket structure is such that from under 15s to 17s to 19, that's how we, you know, grew from different phases. So we were with this whole generation of cricketers who grew up playing together at different levels. And when it came to the senior team, we were always given this tag that, you know, at under 19 level, we beat in test countries. So when are we going to become a full-fledged cricketing nation, and when are we going to win any major tournament? So that way, I think we took it upon us as cricketers, where, you know, we said to ourselves that today, cricket's not that popular. Today, our voices will not be heard. But come tomorrow, let's put in a plan as to how we can succeed. And one of the biggest factors, I would say, in the whole growth of Nepal cricket would probably be Mr. Pobudu Dasanaike, our former coach, who came around 2011. And since he came into the picture, I think he paved a pathway for us, you know, because we're always talented. We always had the hunger to work hard and we're very determined. But we did not have idea as to how to, you know, climb up that ladder, because he's somebody who'd taken teams like Canada. He's played himself cricket for Sri Lanka. So he knew what it took for an associate country to rise up the ranks. And when he got to Nepal and he saw this amazing bunch of cricketers, he said, like, this is what we need to do. And we kept pushing ourselves. And like you said, and we still have hurdles. Like, having said that, having everything that we have accomplished on a cricket field, we still go through those very, very small issues. Like, I know there are times that I've rung up you with weird things that, you know, we want the cricket team, you know, for you to help us on a personal, professional level. So that way, we just kept pushing ourselves, and we knew that if we produce results, the other things going to take care of itself. But having said that, it wasn't easy. Why? Because we weren't taken seriously, because we never had a system in place. We still don't have a system in place. But with the coach and the players standing together and with one intention, with, again, the word honesty comes, with honest intentions, I think you can create miracles. And there's a saying where when all the energy is aligned in one particular, you know, genre, and when a group of people come together for a particular task, I think that eventually worked out, with the universe had good things in store for us. And this whole energy and this spirituality and hard work and all of these things, when it came together, I think this is the formation and the base of what we have functioned. And obviously, if you talk about the negative side of everything that's not right, I think we haven't taken it into our system. Why? Because we knew that that's not going to change. If we thought about it for a very long time, I don't think we would have managed to come where we are. We knew that things are not in place, but that's not in our control. We only took care of what was in our control. What was in our control was scoring runs, taking catches, taking wickets, you know, diving around, running harder, faster, stronger. So these are the things we you know, managed to put in our workload, and here we are today.
It's absolutely amazing. You know, when I'm listening to you, I'm correlating it with what we do in business. You know, sometimes when the environment is not favorable, one thing that works is hard work and honesty. You know, you are truly committed to your work. Sooner or later, you're going to achieve what it is. So it's amazing. Tell me, I heard a word in your speech right now. You talked about spirituality. How important is spirituality in the life of a leader?
Very. For me, I am God's child. Why? Because, I mean, it'll be, I don't want to jinx it, but having said that, everything that I've tried to, you know, or have thought about with honest intentions regarding with, you know, what cricket should be in terms of within the team, it's worked out where, you know, it's just a matter of time. Like you said, we believe in God. You know, even our hurdle when you go before a match is Pashupatinath Ki Jai. I know it's just one form of God and one religion that we're representing. But then we represent the whole Nepal. We have people represent different religions. And it's like you have Buddha in your background. Buddhas, we're like, you know, country with Buddhism. And we're a secular country. And with that, I think the cricket team is a very prime example of how everything can function if everybody aligns to their responsibility. If everybody thinks of, you know, what's that task? It's not about where you're from or what background you come from. It's about you being there to help win matches for Nepal. It's you being there to help Nepal progress at your respective field. So that's how we have looked at it. And for me, I'm somebody who follows like God and spirit. I'm very spiritual. I'm not somebody who practice and do puja like all over. But then I'm very conscious about things around me, and this I keep saying this to people around me, my friends, family. I mean, there's a difference between fear and faith. For me, faith takes over fear, because that difference between faith, you do things because you have faith. You don't do things because you have fear over, you know, you failing or you not succeeding, that faith in, you know, God, and that faith in yourself, that faith in your honest intentions to succeed over fear is what, you know, I have somehow managed to surround myself with, and even my friends and family, and these are the people that I've somehow managed to get hold of, and that's why I call it my Bluetooth zone, where everybody is like, if it's a wrong decision, they'll come and tell you are wrong. If it's a right decision, nobody says anything. So when there's a wrong decision or something that doesn't work out, then there'll be like, you know, people with good intentions and people in your Bluetooth zone coming and telling you what to do and what not to. So that's how I function.
Okay. You know, Paras, early 2000s, right? Cricket is nowhere in the scene in Nepal. I mean, it's football, all of that. You know, one by one, like you said, you start proving, start winning, and starts getting attention. I mean, in our own small way, we had a little bit of contribution supporting. But for us, we never even knew that the sport would get so big. Coming forward now, it's, I think, become a sport that's become, if not bigger, as popular as, let's say, football. Going forward next 10 years, I mean, you in your own personal capacity are involved in a lot of social initiatives, right? And something that I am, again, aware of is the Balu 11. What is Balu 11, and how do you see the next 10 years of cricket evolving in our country?
We must plan to become a test-playing country. It's as simple as that. I have been saying this in millions of whatever, thousands of interviews that I've given. I think yourself, myself, and a couple of very like-minded people, we've started this whole Balu Nepal, Balu 11 movement, and it's to do with cricket. So it's all about, I say, we have the talent, we have the fan following, we have enough financial, you know, people to support this game now. Before, I knew it. Before 2014 World Cup, if you ask somebody to go and, let's say, sponsor 50,000 rupees, right? People will say, like, why should I? Now you have people who want to spend 5 crore rupees, or somebody's building a 500 crore stadium, you know? So the things have really changed from in terms of perspective. But having said that, for us, in the next 10 years, our whole journey should be, we have to have a cricket team that's winning, because we can have the best plan for the next 8-10 years. But on day-to-day basis, the cricket team, the players currently, and how we groom these players is going to be, I would say, a very important role. Why? Because if you don't have a cricket team that's winning, there's going to be no attraction towards, you know, sponsorship and the government policies or whatever. But having said that, because cricket is one of those very few sports that has actually proven itself, like we've won almost everything now. But obviously, having said that, we still have a World Cup to qualify for. We're an ODI country now. So all these things now, it's about time that we invest. We need to have proper infrastructure in place. We have to have proper cricket stadiums. I wouldn't call it a stadium. We don't need a full 50,000 capacity stadium. You have cricket grounds in Australia, New Zealand with banks. We just need to add floodlights, add that structure up, have domestic cricket running, you know, and all these things, and start school from school levels and college level, like we did the Balu Nepal inter-school cricket tournament in Province 5, right? I would say that is the biggest inter-school cricket level tournament that this country has ever seen, where all 12 districts for the first time ever participated in a cricket tournament, and that too at inter-school under 16 level. So that is one of the bases where tomorrow, if we have this spread it over the whole country and everybody is conducting its own cricketing, you know, activities, you have a regional cricket team, you have, you know, provincial cricket teams, district cricket team, now we have our own Premier Leagues that are happening, and on top of that, we have a national cricket team that's, you know, performing at the highest level and doing well. So these are the things, if you can add up, you know, step by step, I think that should be our ultimate goal moving forward. And like I said, the Balu Nepal, the Balu 11 movement says what we believe is that in 2039, we want to win the World Cup. We are not talking about qualifying for a World Cup. So I know it's an 18-20-year-old dream, and tomorrow, if everything goes well, I mean, we are all allowed to dream. 2013, when we said we'll play the World Cup, everybody used to laugh at us, and we made it happen. And when we said after the World Cup, we might become an ODI country, and 5 years down the line, 2018, we become an ODI country. So hopefully, like I said, in the next 10 to 12 years, if we become a full-fledged test-playing country, and 8-10 years plus that, we manage to win a World Cup with how I like to see Nepal cricket moving forward.
That's amazing. You know, one thing I really need to learn from you is patience, for sure. But again, you know, honesty, hard work, you know, looking at the larger picture, focusing on the basic infrastructure, results, 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 will get you to ensure that the entire ecosystem is moving forward with you. Thank you so much, Paras, for coming on my show. I really, really appreciate it. I'm absolutely always so proud of you. And I know in days to come, you'll again take this to greater heights. Thank you so much for giving me time.
Thank you. Thank you, Nirvandai. Take care, and always great talking to you. Cheers.